Good morning, good morning. Can you hear me? Good. A few announcements. First, if you take the red pad, sign it, pass it down. And of course, if there's any changes, we would like to know. I got a couple things I'd like to point out. Don't always do this, but sometimes when things are a little special and like to point it out, we've got a couple of people, and maybe there's more that I don't know about, and you can tell me. Someone just turned 90, and someone is turning 90. Millie Mack was 90 on the 4th of July. Millie, can you raise your hand? That had her family around her and gathered, and that's just such a special thing. I'll be there in 29 years. Well, 28, I'll be 62 in a few months. And Marie Yates on July the 11th will be 90, so we want to celebrate her birthday with her. And got some of her family members in Kansas.
I'll be 81.
81 when? 12th of July. Fantastic. Any other special birthdays?
Dominic turned 16 on July 13th.
That is a very special birthday. Very special.
I'll be 21.
You'll be 21. See, for how many times have you been 21? Now let me figure that out.
Maybe you'll be 64 on the
31st. And retired, and she's proud of that. Like to know anniversaries and birthdays and celebrate that, and the Valley's not out yet. It'll be out after session meets Tuesday night, so we wanted to pass those on. And the birthdays aren't always listed by how old someone is, just by the birthday usually. Deacons are having their first Deacon Fellowship Lemonade and Cookie Sunday. If it's not raining, we're going to meet out front. You probably saw the setup, so we're very excited about that. And Vacation Bible School, July the 15th through the 19th, 6:30 to 8:30 in the evening. You can contact BJ or Kathy Segi. And applications are in the back, and they still need a teacher for preteen, grades 4 through 6. And recreation and helpers. And then food bank is in need of school supplies, and more info to follow in minute for mission next week. And please remember Aspinwall Presbyterian Church, their Bell Tower campaign. If you'd like to give to it, you can make a check payable to GVPC with a note for Aspinwall. And the session gave a check, the Sunday school class gave a check, and I think the deacons may be contributing to that too. So if you'd like to help a local Presbyterian church in our area, you can do so. And this is the last Sunday we'll be taking up money at our church for that. As you know, Sunday school choir and junior church are not meeting during the summer, and I'll get started back in September. Shop for a cause. Event will take place on August 24th. 100% of the proceeds go to Glenshell Valley. They're $5 passes, and that'll be taken off your bill, and you can buy that through BJ Morrison. And I will announce this because it kind of goes along with my sermon on September the 15th. We're kind of backing this up 1 week because it's National Back to Church Sunday. So we're going to have a program to try to invite you to church, invite your friends to church, invite people that are part of our church that have not been here for a while, and try to get as many people as we can in church on that Sunday and reconnect. And also the deacons will be having their pig roast picnic that day, so just make it a real big celebration and time it so there's not a Steeler game that day. Very important. They play on Monday, so there won't be anything interrupting that. So be looking forward to that. You'll be hearing more about it. And I think that's everything. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise, 585. Brethren, we have met to worship. Thank you. First, we continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your invitation to eternal life. We praise Jesus for his willingness to sacrifice his life for ours. Forgive us when we do not take your church and kingdom to heart. Deliver us from our fear of inviting people to meet you as Lord and Savior. Help us to care about the needs of others. Show us those who are struggling and need you in their lives. Help us to grow as a church as we reach out to our community with the good news of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Let us unite together once again in our faith in reciting our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe. Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you're not sure of someone's name, be sure to ask them.
Silhouette, I will glory
Responsive reading, 658, red hymnals, eternal life. 658, eternal life. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God rests upon him. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. This is the testimony that God gave us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And I called the elder on the door to bring forth the prayer requests.
Good morning, church family. Let us keep the following individuals in our prayers this week. George Schindler, Sandy Selman's son, is having medical complications. Let's continue to pray for him that he will have a healing. Tracy Swedko, this is Kathy's aunt. Her breast cancer has returned and it has now spread to her lung tissue. Clara's brother-in-law, Jim Kaler, has recently been diagnosed with bone cancer. They are awaiting test results to see what treatment is best. Lois Lysik's daughter, Michelle Pegram, would like to find a teaching job in Naples, Florida. And our member, Suzanne Connors, re-injured her knee and has difficulty walking. For Mike Love's son, Joshua, recently had surgery for a hernia. In fact, I believe Friday he had the surgery, so if we could lift him in prayer for a quick recovery. Pat Salmon having a lot of serious health issues. Pray for health, pain control, and that he keeps his faith. Equally important is to recognize the praise that comes from the blessings in our life. This request is from Kathy, all of the deacons. She would like to praise all of the deacons, Sue Gill and Tom Baalbach, for helping all the hard work in preparing for their first Lemonade Fellowship Sunday. God bless all of you. And as mentioned earlier, we do have a few special members who are celebrating their 90th birthday this year, both Millie and Marie. And again, please continue to hold up these members in your prayers this week.
Also want to remember John Coyle, who's going in for knee replacement surgery, right knee, on the 11th. And that's at Passavant?
Yes.
At Passavant. So remember him. And I saw Hilda and Isabel Monday at St. Barnabas. Isabel seems to be doing fairly well. Hilda was having a really tough time and a lot of pain. So let's keep them in prayers, and as well as all the others that are listed in our valley and our newsletter, and some other people that I'm helping that don't want to be mentioned. But God always knows the situations. Let's be in prayer for them too. And as we go to the prayer, lead you into the Lord's Prayer with debts, our debtors instead of trespasses. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day thanking you for all the riches and treasures that you have given to us, for your love and your kindness, your wisdom, your grace, your mercy. You have called us out of the world into a relationship with you that is so much richer than anything the world could give us. We could win the lottery and win hundreds of millions of dollars, and we would be excited, buy all types of things, give money away, but nothing could make us as rich as a relationship with you, because that lasts for eternity. Eternal life is what we have when we accept you as Lord and Savior, and we are thankful for that. But there are people all around us in our community who have not found you as their Savior. Many reject you. Many curse you. Many have broken away from church because something negative has happened in their church life. Many just want to party. Many don't want to give up certain things in their lives. Help us to know who they are and to be able to reach out in love and compassion and invite them to church, to invite them to have a relationship with you, even saying that we will pick them up and give them a ride to church as we display the best Christian life that we can before them, realizing that we're not perfect, they're not perfect, but you are. We lift all of our people that we've mentioned in prayer and every single member of our congregation for healing in whatever area of their lives that they need it. Touch them, be with them, let them feel your love, your compassion, your mercy. Help each individual with whatever situation and difficulty they might be going through or getting ready to go through. Be with us as the church here at Glenshaw Valley. Help us to grow in love, and help us to increase in numbers of all ages. Help us to fulfill the ministries that you have called us to, and help us to know what is the most important. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is a screen song, one familiar to us, Awesome God. For a word of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, a day filled with love and joy and celebration, because you are our Lord and Savior, and you have called us into relationship with you, and you have blessed us with gifts to use for your glory, to call people into relationship, to build up the church and the kingdom of God. Thank you for this responsibility. Help us to do the best that we can. Lord, thank you. Thank you for every person who gives of their time, their energy, of their self. Not that people will point to them and say, look what they have done, but that we can point to Jesus and say, look what Jesus is doing for the world. In his precious name we do pray. Amen. Read the scripture, and as he's coming forward, I just want to thank people. I know some people have been down gardening, and we certainly thank them for that. And also, you know, our new member board, when the valley comes out, you'll see their photographs in the valley. But I've still got to make the photographs, two of them. I went to do it, but my Sims card won't fit in the machine, the camera so old, so I got to take the whole camera down, but then the batteries were dead, so it'll get up, do it this week. It's always something. So they'll be up this week, and so we'll have all 10 members and communicants up this week for next Sunday.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
Last week I was happy to be able to attend my church from my youth, and they send greetings to you all. And I probably should have put a prayer request in, but they have been searching for a pastor for the last 2 years. So keep them in your prayers. It's a small church, just like this, and they're having some difficulties with finding a pastor. So going to our scripture today, the scripture tells a story that's only included in Luke. It talks about a group of people that Jesus sent out to sort of be his front people as they went around the town, from town to town. I always thought that Jesus just had the 12 disciples with him, but this seems to indicate that there was more people that he was using and that were following him throughout his journeys through the Holy Land. So please listen to your personal message as I read Luke 10:1-3. through 11 and 10, 16 through 20. After this, the Lord appointed 27 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest with them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me.' The 72 returned with joy and said, 'Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name.' He replied, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill.
The scripture lets us know right up front that Jesus is looking
for laborers.
People who will work for the kingdom of God. Notice that Jesus has appointed 72 disciples to prepare the way for his ministry. Jesus obviously had a large number of followers by this time. Certainly he had more than his 12 apostles that we're so familiar with. On this occasion, he had sent them out in pairs for mutual encouragement and for help. And Jesus saw a tremendous need, a need so big that a great core of witnesses were needed. "The harvest is plentiful," he said, "but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Christ's words ring just as true today in this generation as they did 2,000 years ago. The harvest is still plentiful. People still need today what Jesus Christ has to offer. People today are spiritually hungry. Many people in our society are lost. People have their lives all messed up as a generation, I think, has never been so messed up in all of history. The world is crying out to us. We need a Savior. We need someone to help us. And Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful." Christ's call for laborers is based on human need. It is not based on the desire to build the biggest church. Some people, that's all they really care about. "I want to have the biggest church in town put on my resume." It's not based on our desire to cram our values down other people's throats and say, "You have to believe exactly like we believe or you cannot be a Christian and fit into this small niche." The world desperately needs what only the church can give, a Savior. And Jesus Christ is that Savior for the world. Someone has said that the church is not a museum for the saints, but a hospital for the hurting. And I've always liked that, even though sometimes it causes trouble. If you understand that the church is a place for people who have problems, then you can see what Jesus meant when he said that the harvest is plentiful. Reverend Jeremy Howe put it this way. He said, the church is designed for the single mother who works two jobs to support her kids. The church is for the drug addict who cannot stop his habit. The church is for the young person struggling with self-esteem. The church is for the man who does not respect his boss, so he steals from his company and from the co-workers. The church is for the housewife who goes out searching for some excitement in the arms of a man who belongs to someone else. The church is for the alcoholic who is ready to admit that he needs help. This is why some churches don't grow. They're seeking the wrong audience. They're looking for people who have got it all together, not for those who are falling apart and need a Savior. They're looking for the ups and ins, not the down and outs. They're looking for saints and not for sinners. They're looking over the right over the great harvest and not seeing who they need to call into a relationship. What did Jesus say? Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, and I come to call not the righteous but the sinners. How is the church through the centuries able to get it so wrong when Jesus so plainly showed us the right way? The harvest is plentiful if you know where to look. There's something called the Celebrate Recovery programs that are popping up all over the country today. And Celebrate Recovery services are designed to reach people who have problems with alcohol and drugs, but also people who are hurting because as children they were abused. And there's more in our society than you even realize. Or they're suffering after a divorce or the loss of a spouse from death. One man tells about visiting a Celebrate Recovery service in a city in the South on a Thursday evening. He said it was a loud service. They had a band and the band was loud, but it was very good. He said what impressed me the most was that more than 400 people, primarily young people in their 20s and 30s, were gathered in one place. Some of them had been through rough times. At least half of them were men. Think of it, 200 men in their 20s and 30s gathered. Who says the church cannot reach people in that age group? In this service, he reports more than 400 young people, middle adults, were more than half of whom were men, lifting high the name of Jesus. Why? Because the church was meeting them at their point of need and not trying to make them fit into their place. And that's something that's not always easy for the church to do, to find people where they are and meet them in their place of need. Some people, back up for a second. All people need what Christ has to offer, whether they're sick or they're saints, and they need a church. They need a place to worship, a place to feel welcomed, a place to feel loved. Some people, though, have a buffer zone around them. They have good health. They have numerous material possessions, a good bank account. They have family that loves them. Still, they need a Savior. But the good life that our affluent society provides them keeps sometimes them from realizing what is the most important thing in their life that they need. But don't kid yourself. They still need Jesus Christ. No matter how wealthy they are, no matter how famous they are, they still need Christ. Jesus was speaking directly to our generation when he said, "The harvest is plentiful." What Christ needs is laborers who will actually go out into the fields. This is the church's primary reason for being, to be reaching out for those people that Jesus loves that are hurting and living and are dying without knowing him as Lord and Savior. The last thing Jesus did before he left the earth is what we call the Great Commission. He said, go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do everything that I have commanded you. In other words, make more disciples so they can go out and reach more people for the kingdom of God, so the whole earth can be converted. Not just a few, but everyone. And we are to be a charitable organization at the same time. We are to provide for those who cannot provide for themselves. Remembering Jesus said, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, or you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. We're also to be responsible members of our community. We'll support community organizations like the food bank that we've been supporting for years. And in the time we bought a motorcycle for a missionary in Vietnam, and times we've taken up money for people who have had natural disasters, and our money that we help members of our own congregation when they're struggling. And we supported Thomas in his missionary work on a regular basis and given to other causes. We've done a lot of good things, but we should never stop. And we're also to maintain a house of worship and to gather each week to worship God and to teach the sacred word. And those are important things. We need a place to worship. We need to teach. We need to listen. And you need to study. That's a part. No matter how much you might do, every one of you need to read your Bibles. And you need to read books about the Bible. You need to read devotionals. You need to do it. God requires it of you. It's not just something that is on the side that, oh, I can do when I get around to it. I'll do it if I want to do it. You're required to do it. And our main business is to introduce the world to Jesus to the extent that people become his disciples. That's not an easy thing for most of us to do, particularly if it means sharing our faith with a stranger. Perhaps you've heard the story about the man who got up every morning and prayed the same prayer. Lord, if you want me to share my faith with somebody today, please give me a sign to show me who it is. One day he found himself on the city bus, sat next to a big burly man. Well, he didn't sit next to him. The big burly man came and sat next to him when the bus was almost empty. Don't you hate when something like that happens? Having this burly man next to our friend on the bus made him nervous. So he waited anxiously for the next bus stop so he could get off the bus. But before he got to the next bus stop, the big guy burst into tears and began to weep. Ah, you don't want that to happen. The burly man cried out with a loud voice, my life is in such a mess. I need to find Christ. I need the Lord. Won't somebody tell me how to find and know the Master? The burly man turned to our timid friend and asked, can you tell me about Jesus? And our timid friend immediately bowed his head and prayed, Lord, is this the sign that I've been praying for? I knew that wouldn't get a laugh because it makes us nervous. Most of us are not comfortable sharing our faith with a stranger. We're not even too comfortable sharing it with our friends. Maybe that's why Jesus sent witnesses out in pairs, to give them a little courage. There was a time when the churches sent people out two by two to evangelize. Our Jehovah's Witness and Mormon friends still do it that way, although I don't think it's a very effective means of evangelism, at least not in the United States. Matter of fact, it might be a good way to get shot. People don't seem to like people knocking on their doors that they don't know them. A woman who worked at home invited a friend over for coffee, and she said, "Ignore the sign on the front door. It's just for drop-ins and salespeople." The sign read, "Bell does not work." And penciled underneath were these words, "Knocking won't work either." My guess is she didn't want many visitors. One guy says there was a knock at his front door one rainy day, and he opened it up, and there stood two Jehovah's Witnesses, soaking wet and shivering. He felt so bad for them, he invited them in and brought them into the living room, got them chairs, and they sat down. They were sitting there. They were being quiet. They weren't really saying anything. And then the man says, "Well, what happens next?" Jehovah's Witnesses looked at him and said, "We don't know. We've never made it this far in before." I used to invite them into my house and keep them there 2 or 3 hours. Going out 2 by 2 used to be an effective strategy for reaching people. I really don't think it's so hot today. So we need to find new ways of extending the call to Christ to a new generation of seekers. And that's the term they use today. And churches are being started only trying to reach out to seekers and start a church from the ground up with new people. There are times when we know about the new generation of young adults. We know that they value relationships. That's what they're writing about, the younger people. They want relationships. They want to connect, because in this digital age where everybody is going out to restaurants and everybody's on their phone texting, no one's even talking to one another. You've seen it, a group of 8 people. They all got their phones, not a one's talking to each other. A family at a restaurant. Four to table. No one's looking at each other. All on their phone. Either this or this. Not making those connections personally. So these people despise phoniness. They want to be genuine. And they're not just looking for friendliness. They're looking also for friendships. And that's very important. And they're looking for informality, including informal dress. One writer tells about a friend of his, a woman in her 50s. He said she always came to church in a pair of jeans and kind of a sloppy shirt. He said it looked like she got it from Goodwill, because there's a lot of good stuff at Goodwill if you shop around. What he didn't realize, this woman was a multimillionaire from birth, lived in the richest part of town. But she dressed down because she didn't want anybody, when they came to church, feeling like they would be unwelcome because they were not dressed well enough to fit in to the church. And I know that's the way I used to feel as a little boy. If I didn't have a suit and a tie and my shoes polished, I couldn't go to church, because I'd be offending God or offending the people. I wouldn't fit in. In a new world, a more casual world, even the doctor who treats you may be wearing blue jeans and tennis shoes. So we need to look at our church and say, what can we do to make sure that our church is an inviting, welcoming place? Are we not only friendly enough, but are we willing to make friendships with people? Is our church accessible? Is our form of worship, can people follow along very well? Can they find the restrooms? Do they know where the CE building is and where the children are? Are we making that so they can find out? And I think we can do a better job of it. We can always be looking to see what we can do better. I think we're doing good in a lot of areas, but we should never stop. We should always be trying to improve and see what we can do better. Sometimes a simple invitation is all people need. Surveys show that if you invite a friend, 50% of those people will accept that invitation to attend church. The percentage goes up substantially with the second, third, fourth, and fifth invitation. In other words, don't stop because they said no one time. The problem is that most of us are reluctant to ask. So you have to ask yourself, are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you afraid to get your feelings hurt? Are you ashamed of the church that you attend? Are you ashamed of the people around you? Or ashamed of the pastor? Ashamed of our CE building? Why wouldn't you want someone to come to this church? Why wouldn't you want someone to be a part of this body of Christ? You may know the story of Garrison Keillor, host of the popular radio program Prairie Home Companion. He was brought up in a fringe group of the Plymouth Brethren Church. Finding the church's heavy legalism and dullness put him off from going to church, and we hear that from people a lot. From then on, people would ask him, "Do you go to church?" And he would say, "No." Then they would say, "Well, why don't you go to church?" And he would tell them. That ritual exchange served him well for many years until someone, another Lutheran, a friend, gauged him in the very same two stock questions. Do you go to church and why don't you go to church? But then the person surprised him with the third question and said, why don't you come to church with us? Never having been asked that question before, he responded, okay, and went back to church that Sunday and has been in church ever since. And he says, where would I be today if that person had not invited me? I may never, ever have gone back to church. Sometimes that's all it takes. He said, wouldn't it have been a shame if no one had ever asked me? The fields are ready and ripe for the harvest, and that's what Christ teaches us today, that we need Christ just as much today as when Christ walked the face of this earth. Christ's greatest need is for laborers, people who are willing to share their faith openly and boldly and kindly with love. Not beating people over the head with it. Not screaming at them that they're going to hell. Christ needs people who are sensitive to the needs of others in this fast-changing world. And sometimes all they need is a simple invitation. Can Christ count on you to give that invitation to someone? The harvest is plentiful, says Christ, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Are we willing to do that? May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn is 244, The Trees of the Field. That everyone can stay for the deacon's lemonade and cookies. I know that they worked very diligently on it. I know that it will be good, some good fellowship. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary today with all its beauty, look around at these wonderful, beautiful stained glass windows and the story that they tell. Just take some time sometimes, and we see them every Sunday and don't pay the attention, I think, that they deserve and the story that they tell. And think sometimes about telling someone the story of Jesus. Quote the Bible, just tell them what Christ has done for you and invite them to church. You could change their life and the lives maybe of hundreds, maybe even thousands of others by the life that you may help to touch. You never know. So go from here in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.